It's going to be great. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it's welcome. It's Monday. Monday morning. It's the news, according to me. Monday, May 5th, 7:10 a.m. Almost 7:11. Almost 7:11. Would you like a Slurpee with that? 2025. I missed a year there. I'm just off by a year. Yeah. You're not watching an old broadcast or anything. It's just this is a brand new show. Brand new show today. Unless you're listening to it a year from now, then it would be a year old. But it's not a year old yet. It's just coming out of my mouth right now. Welcome to the show. It's a Mishmash Monday. I have a lot of mishmash to talk about. I do have one general topic. I kind of have on my brain right now. There was a lot of things over the weekend. I was thinking, I should talk about that on the show. All those different stuff I should talk about on the show. Everything I was thinking about, but now it has turned into, I don't know. I've been, by the time I get up, feed the dogs, eat my breakfast, and take one of them for a little bit of a walk, work on his little routine where he does his little heel, sit, stay, come thing, do all that stuff. Kind of refresh his brain of all of his commands. He's now sitting here chewing his little bone thing. I have the next month and a half, basically, to do shows every day. The only show this week that might be a problem is Thursday morning. There's a possibility that I may do a show Wednesday evening, record it. It might be a pre-recorded show, possibly. My dog just walked off. I'm not sure where he's going. I need to deal with that. Where'd you go, Uzi? Come here. Come here. Come here, buddy. He's found something more interesting. Probably a cat. The news of the day, I'm more and more overwhelmed, I guess, by the way, I had a week of traveling that was just absolutely nuts. I got in kind of a little bit later last night than I wanted to. I ended up, where was I? Boston. I ended up coming back from St. Louis. This last week I have been in Dallas, Little Rock, Boston, Tulsa. No, I'm sorry, not Tulsa. St. Louis. But I don't remember where else. I don't remember. I was in Lansing, Michigan. Not that that's a joke. I'm just saying it's not that far away. It's just, now there's things in the background running again, which is indicative of when I'm not here alone. This is why I like to go to the worldwide headquarters. Keeps that background noise from happening. However, it's just not as efficient for me to go there, but That aside, all that being said, I have there's this very obvious thing that's been happening in the Democrat Party, and it needs to be. I know I've spoken of it a little bit, touched on it a few times, but it's something I think needs to be chatted about a little bit here. We have. There's a vacuum right now in the Democrat Party. The background noise really drives me nuts here. There's this vacuum, and what it amounts to is there's no leadership right now in the Democrat Party. You've got a bunch of people who are wannabe leaders. You have the legacy leaders of, you know, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. You have Hakeem Jeffries, who is not exactly a dynamic leader. He's trying to be he's trying to step up and step forward with some things and trying to be. Now, I think he probably has more of a sense of leadership with regard to, he takes his job seriously. However, I think he's trying to steer the party a little bit. But there's nobody has stepped forward with any kind of dynamic leadership. They have nothing. The only message they have is Trump is bad. Everything is anti something. There's no vision for the future. There's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing to go forward with other than the complaining and the protesting, and that's all they have. They have become the party of protest. And it's as if they have to have the leadership has to be in charge of the greatest, whoever can put together the largest protest, the most successful protest. That's the guy who's going to be the leader, the person who's going to be the leader. And frankly, folks, that's just not going to cut it. They've got to come up with a plan. They've got to have a vision. They've got to have a future for it. And one of the things I've been hearing them say, this is coming from Schumer, this is coming from a lot of the party regulars, they're all saying this. And Kamala Harris was out this last weekend and said the same thing. She said, basically said, had the same kind of message. And what it was we have, this country belongs to all of us. It doesn't just belong to whoever's in the White House. That's one of their big things right now, is to say that the country is ours. It's not theirs. Well, Democrats would have you believe that they're the ones who need to be in charge of that, though. That's the biggest problem. It's ours, but it belongs to all of us. But it's not yours, really. It's they want to lead you into that, and they want to tell you what to think. That's I heard this lady the other day. She was. She was talking about some kind of judge, something somebody said about some judge or something that was said. I can't remember what it was. And what she ended up saying was, everyone should be offended by this. Everyone should be offended by this. I guess you're telling me what I should be offended by. That's what you're saying. So which of course just doesn't set well with me. I have. It amazes me when politicians. Pundits, whatever they are, they come out and they talk about all kinds of things. But what I don't like is when they put words in the American people's mouths. They say the American people are upset by this president. The American people are, the polls are down. The American people don't disapprove of this. What's going on with this presidency? Whatever it is that they say, and it's always this dog. it's always this idea that they know what the American, they're speaking for the American people because they know what the American people are thinking. They know what the American people are saying. This is what the American people, and what they're really trying to do is convince you that everybody else, it's a peer pressure tactic. You do this all the time. And it's really quite disgusting, in my opinion. It's not that they've done any polling. It's not that they've, maybe among their own staff. You know, they do polling. Hey, what would sound good here? But they never do anything in terms of vision, leadership. Here's our platform. Here's what we're going to do for the American people. Here's how we're going to do it. Whereas this administration has been very open and upfront about all of that. It's people are wondering, these tariffs are terrible. Folks, the tariffs are starting to work much quicker than what they expected. The jobs report was much better than what everybody, we were being told it was going to be. The economic situation is better. The Chinese are collapsing in terms of their stance on, they were the only holdouts in the total tariff battle. We're setting up something that's not a temporary fix. This is not going to be a kick the can down the road thing. We're setting up for the next 5 years. Things are going to be falling into place in the next 5 years that will change the economic outcome of this country for the next half century. Unless the Democrats get a hold of it and change everything back and do a bunch of, do like they did with Biden's era. They haven't learned their lesson on this stuff, I guarantee you. Biden got in, and basically, if it had Trump's name on it, it was going to be gone. If it was an executive order, they had to do the opposite. They had to do the antithesis of anything Trump did. And of course, where'd that lead us to? It was ridiculous. And it's the only thing driving the Democrat Party right now is we have to do the opposite of Trump. We have to do something besides Trump. Whatever Trump does, we have to do the opposite. I can't associate anybody that comes out and associates anything like Gretchen Whitmer recently came out and unfortunately was made to bow down basically to the Trump. When Trump went to Detroit and she showed up and he called her out to say, to have a few words. Won't you say a few words? Look, there's more and more Democrats that are now. So I think they lost another senator, or congressman. I think somebody switching over. Remember, it was a mayor, some governor, whoever it was, and now switching over to the Democrat from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party now because they just can't do it anymore. The ridiculous leftist rhetoric is starting to wear very thin, and every time you. And what amazes me is the lockstep automatrons on the left who see a meme and just automatically repaste it. Copy and paste, repost it. And none of them, not a single one of them have ever said anything about what's in my cup. I have this morning I have chai, glorious chai. With my Almond Joy Creamer. Yes, because I'm at home. I'm at home for a while. In my backup cup, I have some old sweet tea. It's almost turning funky on me. I think today will be a day of making some new sweet tea. And maybe with some peaches. I don't know. We'll have to see how this goes. I might try to find some peaches to put in there. But in the meantime, that's what's in my. The Democrats have never talked about that, and I think that's their biggest mistake, in my opinion. They've never talked about what's in my cup. That would change the whole party. That would change everything. That would unite everybody, in my opinion. But that's not going to happen. So So President Trump, over the last couple of weeks here now has been in a lot. Things are happening on every side. The latest thing is that he's even Rosie O'Donnell somehow over in Ireland, who I don't know if any of you realize, Donald Trump apparently has bought some new property over in Ireland. I think that's where she's at. Is she in Ireland? I don't know. She's in Ireland or Greenland. I don't know where she's at. I think it's Ireland. She's over there, and apparently Donald Trump bought some property over there. He's living there almost full time, and I guess it's almost practically free, basically. It's a free property he's living in. It's called Rosie O'Donnell's Brain. She's moved away to get away from the country, get away from Donald Trump, and yet that's all she can talk about when she gets on the news. She just gets on. It's either leave or stay. What are you going to do here? You're going to hang out? You're going to keep your thing going, or what are you going to do here? So, my dog is very restless. I don't know why. Keeps looking at me. He keeps looking over there and panting, and I don't know what he's doing. He's like he wants to chase something. There's nothing there to chase. He won't just lay down. He will if I tell him to. But then, it's like trying to herd cats. We have the leftist media, of course. Now we got other people coming out now. Of course, Jen Psaki over the weekend, for instance, came out and said she never saw the person that she saw that night on the debate. She never saw him. Never saw that Joe Biden. She of course she wasn't there. She wasn't there when he was in his cognitive decline stage. She was gone already. She's putting that all in John Clubriere. Basically, is saying, "Oh, I didn't see any of that. I didn't see any of that. I didn't notice any of that." Everybody's denying that they saw anything at all. Until that debate. Then everybody saw it. But they didn't even acknowledge it then. They still won't acknowledge it. If you bring it up now, they're like, "Oh, you're not a doctor. What? How do you know what? How can you talk about his cognitive decline? You don't know. How can you diagnose him?" And yet now they're starting to admit, "Okay, we had." They will not come clean with the American people on anything. And they wonder why they've lost credibility. Of course, one of the other issues here is that they can just continue to lie, of course. And yet, in the midst of their lying, they're lying. They're lying about their lying. We didn't know about it. He was a sharp as a tack. It came out testifying to this guy's abilities and his sharpness and his cognitive awareness and everything. He was just, this is the best version of Joe. And yet now they're coming out and saying, oh, okay, well, yeah, well, I didn't notice it, but apparently, you know, it wasn't, I spoke my truth at the time, you know, whatever it was. And we're just supposed to go along with all this. Oh, okay, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And we're supposed to believe you now. That's what gets me about the whole thing now at this point. So all that time you were lying to us and, oh, yeah, okay, we're supposed to believe now what you're saying to us now. And we're supposed to believe what you're saying to us about Donald Trump again. And I think that there is a growing segment of our country, of our population, it's growing weary of this stuff. And they go down to save this Maryland man, this father, who was mistakenly shipped away. Oh, there's no evidence he's an MS-13, you know, member, a gang member. Now we're finding clips of his wife making statements about his domestic abuse over and over and over again. Apparently making statements about, she alleges that he made statements about being able to kill her and no one would be able to do anything about it. So it is one of those things that it is, very disturbing, in my opinion, that the left is just, now all of a sudden they're saying, oh, well, we shouldn't go down to El Salvador because we don't want to take our tax dollars down there. We don't want to support them. We don't want to sanction them. In fact, one senator is talking about putting sanctions on El Salvador for cooperating with our president in this unconstitutional act. Can you believe that? This is the kind of, that's actually, that violates the Hatch Act, by the way. There's a lot of things that's going on here. If President Trump said the same things, just like Pritzker, or whatever the guy's name is, the big guy who's the governor of Illinois, came out over the last, it was a couple weeks ago. I've never supported, violent protests and, taking to the streets and protests and all that stuff. Until now. Now he supports it. And, of course, now he's advocating for this stuff. Now, the things that he's saying, if you take everything he said, if you had Trump read the exact same speech that Pritzker said, the word insurrection would be plastered on every newscast, on every... Well, they read the teleprompter. On every teleprompter out there, they would be... That's all you'd see. The word insurrection would be every other word. And every other word would be a cuss word, probably. Because somehow they think that's cool now. Pete Buttigieg... I think he has grown a beard and a mustache now, and he's whenever he gets on a podcast, he tries to say some swear words because he's trying to look more manly, I guess, or something. I don't know what he's trying to do. I guarantee you, it's political theater. It's all I'm sure he thinks about all these things and how it's all about appearance, because everything's political theater with these people. It's just one thing after another. And of course, this is where we're at right now with this whole thing. So it's, I'm sorry, but folks, this is very distracting with me, with a dog here. And of course, I didn't have the show very well planned out. So I'll apologize right now for the mishmash. But it's Mishmash Monday, so it's that's my excuse. It's supposed to be this way. The dog. I blame it on the dog. It's actually kind of warm in the house this morning. I'm kind of surprised that it's as warm as it is. Of course, I am wearing insulated pants and have an extra shirt on. That's probably why I'm so hot. I'm hot. Not a hottie, just hot. I'm just warm. So, there's also another shakeup. Is it Mike Walsh? Is it Matt? Well, whatever the guy's name was, the Walsh guy that was Hegseth was at the center, I guess, of Signalgate. So they claim that they were chatting about secure information or sensitive information about the military operations on an unsecure platform. First of all, the Biden administration approved Signal for communications within their groups, which makes you kind of wonder about some things. And then the guy who was on the list of people who were getting this information should have come forward right away and said, "Hey, I don't know how I got up on your list here. I shouldn't be on your list." He should have come in and said that right away. If you're so concerned about, but no, he used that as a political wedge. Now, what are the chances of that happening? First of all, and who put the guy on the list? It was Walz's assistant apparently that actually was in charge of the administrative task of putting those people on there. He's a guy from, I think he's a foreign fella. Just put it that way. He's not. Wasn't U.S. born. I believe he's from China. I believe he might be from China. I'm not sure where he's from. But this guy, so they fired both of these guys. Well, I shouldn't say they fired him. Walz got a promotion or got a switch over to the U.N. Now, I've noticed that Trump, the U.N. ambassador job, there's all kinds of ambassadors to the U.N., the different capacities. It's interesting sometimes the people that they throw over there to be the ambassadorship to the UN. I know that Nikki Haley I think during the Trump's first term wasn't Nikki Haley ambassador to UN? So she was. Trump kind of puts those people out there. You know, why don't you go take care of the UN? I think he kind of looks at it as a joke. I don't think it's a promotion at all. Everybody's like, "Oh, this is a promotion. Now he's going to be the ambassador to the UN." I don't think the UN is taken very seriously by Donald Trump. I really don't, that's fine with me. I would just assume we got out of the UN. I just don't understand the. Of course, if we do, then that takes away our influence. It is a kind of a union. It's not of states that have become. It's become overrun by Marxist. Philosophy and leaders from other countries, but Trump knows that. It's expensive for us to be in it, and it's kind of ridiculous. I think he sends these people off to be ambassadors to the UN because it looks like a prestigious job, and yet it's only prestigious in their own eyes. I think Trump just puts people in it just to. Why don't you go do that in the UN? Why don't you go over there and do something that's, you know, looks good, but it doesn't matter what. Can't really do anything over there, but you can't really mess anything up over there. Bolton, for instance, was ambassador to the UN, I think, under Trump's administration for a while, or did something to that effect. And of course, Bolton was nothing but an inside hack. And he made that very obvious after Trump lost the election in 2020. And he came back, and he was going to run. He was going to run. Also, he's going to run. Mike Pompeo, same thing. Decided he was going to run for president, and I don't think he's going to have anything to do with the administration. But I think he was on a short list for something, and that was just to basically placate some things. What's going on here with the Trump administration? There's all these. This guy who's in charge of the tariff stuff and all the financial stuff, he is a brilliant man. When he goes on, now he's a pretty good communicator as well. And he's been able to go on some interviews and do some things that I think are possibly some of the best, in my opinion, just conveying the philosophy and what we're doing. And if, in fact, along that line, let me just go back. I was going to go back to this earlier. This administration, they've been holding cabinet meetings, public cabinet meetings on a regular basis. And now the news media is saying, "Oh, should they be doing this? This is, on one hand, it's a very transparent administration. They're always talking about cover-ups and all the stuff that's going on. And so the administration now is—they're just letting everything be publicly known, and it's just very obvious what they're doing. And now the media is getting on them, saying, "Should they be doing this? I don't think they should be doing this. Should they be so transparent? I think this kind of transparency isn't good. It's just—you know—what are we doing here with all this transparency? Should we really be allowing this kind of thing to be seen? if they were just keeping the doors closed all the time, they would start making stuff up on their own. Now it's they're too transparent. It's just one thing after another with these people. It's just whatever Trump does, the opposite is what, you know, is the side they're going to be on. It's just constantly that way. And I just have been flabbergasted with all of the rhetoric. The you know, our Arbego guy, everything that they've jumped into, the Democrats take the side of something, and then it falls apart and becomes this ridiculous thing. This guy who brought articles of impeachment, for instance. Now we find out that he had a lab, apparently back in 2010 or 11, or somewhere about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And he had this lab, apparently, where he was doing research. Now, they're talking about the monkeys that were there. However, there were almost 120 beagles, small dogs. Now, this place was abandoned. He claims they were being taken care of. They were being cared for. A rescue operation had to go in and take them out of there. The dogs were so messed up. Now, I was listening to this report about what the dogs were going through when they took them out of the place. They were so confused and so messed up. I don't understand how people can treat animals that way. And I just, I couldn't contain myself, when I heard the report about how these dogs and these animals were treated. They were basically left there to rot. They were doing some kind of cancer research, whatever it was, some kind of research on heart medication, I think it was. And they were, the dogs' blood pressures were, they had rashes and all kinds of stuff. And they had blood pressures were all screwed up and messed up. Their hearts were, because they just basically left them to be and after they were trying to do the testing on them. So it was it's very disturbing. That this guy, this whatever this guy's name is, almost, he just looks like a troll. But he came out with these articles of impeachment, just about as powerful as Al Green's articles of impeachment, which were just nothing but for dastardly deeds done or whatever it was he was going to impeach him for. Well, now the Democrats, the leadership in the Democrat Party, is pulling back from this guy. I think they actually repealed his articles of impeachment. They're basically not going to do anything. They're coming up on the midterms, and this is not going to look good for them if all they're saying is we're running on the idea of impeaching Trump. Because, and of course, now Schumer has come out and said, oh, look, his popularity is dropping. Because that's their goal. Their goal is to get him less popular so that they can justify the idea that if they run against him, if they run this idea of impeaching him, we need to impeach this president, that's going to be their major platform going into the midterms. 2026 election for Congress and Senate is going to be all about impeaching Trump. That's going to be their only vision, their only mission. Somebody made a comment last night, after the first 100 days of Trump's presidency, let's turn this around and let's see what is, they're all saying, oh, it's been the most ridiculous, disastrous first 100 days of any presidency. Really? Okay, let's talk about what the Democrats have done in their first 100 days of this administration. First 100 days of this year. Let's talk about what the news media has accomplished in the first 100 days of this year. All the hoaxes that I think somebody figured out that they had 57 hoaxes that they promoted, lies that have been debunked since. That's like more than one every 2 days. Every 2 days. And it's just one thing after another that they're doing. And it's, I can't, of course, now the younger, there's a young generation, the younger generation is now starting to see some of this stuff. They're realizing, hey, we're growing up in a time that we may not be able to afford to have a house. We may not be able to afford to, you know, not be able to pay off our school loans, all this different stuff. Now, I saw a thing about mini documentary yesterday that I listened to. Maybe I can find it here. I actually downloaded it, but onto my phone. Maybe I can find this here. The what the name of it is? It's worth listening to. This guy goes through the whole. Now he's this guy who does this. There are some biases in it in some of the his other stuff that he's done that I've noticed. However, it's this one is pretty accurate as far as I can tell. There was some. He talks about the history of the World International Monetary Fund and some other things like that. Let's see if it's on here anywhere because I downloaded it and I watched it on an airplane, so I'd probably. And my dog is chewing on the wall. Now, what do we have here? This is, it's not there. It's not there. I'm afraid I didn't have it. It's not in my history. But it's a very good documentary. I'll try to find out I'll get the information on it. I'll get it to you. Very good documentary on the history of the gold standard in the U.S. and how in 1971, there was a lot of things that changed in 1971. And we can trace back a lot of statistics to things happening and changing in 1971. And so the question was, what is it that changed? Well, one of the major changes was getting off the gold standard. However, he also shows that it's not just that that changed things, but this idea of oil being pinned to the U.S. dollar and some other things, and how the gold standard kind of changed things, and why we got off of it, and why Nixon made that decision, and what was happening prior to that, and all the other things that were going on. This is great. The dog's tearing apart the house. That's great. That's great, buddy. There we go. All right. Yeah, that's good. That wall's coming down. All right. It's not good. So, anyway, this documentary was very, very good. And kind of laid it out. It was, I think, maybe 40 minutes long, which was, long enough to listen to. But it gave the whole history of everything that happened with everything. And, of course, one of the things that there was this Facebook discussion a while back where people were talking about getting back on the silver standard, at least using the gold standard and the silver standard. And this one person who is a leftist that I know from high school, she commented, "I don't understand how there's just not enough silver for everybody. Everybody has to be carrying around silver or gold. There's not enough gold for everybody to carry around and make transactions with. I don't know how that would work. You don't understand. We were on the gold standard. Nobody was carrying around. In fact, the government actually basically made it illegal to have gold at one point, other than just jewelry. But you couldn't have gold as a investment bar type thing. So it was. It just means that the dollar can be exchanged for gold, and the dollar has a certain, for 1 ounce of gold is $300 or whatever it is, and it stays that way. So the gold price, you can always exchange $300 for an ounce of gold or whatever it is, and. Whatever the price, is. Let's say it's a dollar for an ounce of gold, whatever. So that dollar's worth an ounce of gold, and that $1 will buy you a nice suit. And 30 years from now, that dollar will buy you a nice suit because it's still an ounce of gold. An ounce of gold today would buy you a very nice suit. An ounce of gold 100 years ago would buy you a very nice suit. That's basically because it's a commodity that stays basically relative the same to other commodities. And one of the things everybody talks about, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not an economic expert. However, there are some things when you boil economics down. Now, this is something that some people don't always tell you about economics, and they always talk about the fundamentals of our economy. What's he chewing on now? The fundamentals of our economy, and they talk about different kinds of things. Since the fall of man, we have had to deal with living in the garden. There was no economy. You didn't need shelter. You didn't need food. There was food. You just walk up and eat it off a tree or whatever it was. Man didn't have to toil for his labor, for his existence. But he does now. Now, you also have to have shelter. The basics of living are kind of the basics of our economy. One of the main things that people need is water. Can't go very many days without that. Of course, air, but that's what's not go that to that extreme. Water. Now we buy bottles of water to drink. Some people do. It's a big deal. Water is marketable. Back in the 70s, if you'd talk about bottling water and selling it, that people would have thought you were nuts. Well, why is this stuff? We can just get it right out of the tap. What's the problem here? Or just, you know, we just pump it out of the ground, whatever. Flows from the river, whatever. Why do you, nobody's going to buy it from a bottle. So now we have bottled water. So that's become a commodity to some extent. Not only that, but the second thing you need is food. So food is think of it as the food pyramid here. It's only the economic pyramid. Food is kind of primary in our ability to sustain ourselves. If you have water and food and shelter, you can sustain life that way. You can be, I'm not saying you would have an abundant life. I'm not saying you'd have a wonderful, fulfilling life. I'm just saying you're alive. That's the basis of our economy. Something economic people will not talk about. So the price of food, the ability to acquire food, and obviously in our country, if you just go to any place where people are milling about, you will see that there are people who apparently are not having any problems with food. I hear about these food deserts. Now I'm talking about news deserts now. Food deserts. I've gone to some food deserts, and apparently I don't know where. Apparently, they had a torrential downpour at some point of some kind of food because there's some very overweight people there. Now, what they'll say is, "Well, there's not nutritional food." Well, that's a cultural issue. Okay, when a nutritional place comes into town and you burn the place down, that might be a problem. Maybe that's why there's only a McDonald's there, or there's only fast food or junk food. This becomes a very different kind of issue for people. Yes. So anyway, I'm just saying, I don't think there's so we have water and food and shelter. Those three things in the economic basis of everything that happens within our economy, those are the basics. Those are the fundamentals. Think of those things as the fundamentals. Now, in order to acquire, in order to purchase, in order to have those things, in order to have food and shelter, in our economy, you have to pay for those things. First, they have to be available. Now, the people who provide those things are on the other end of our economy. So farmers, builders, landowners, whoever it is that you're talking about, that you have to buy the food from, they are on one side of the sector. So they own the land that they're farming from, or that they're building on, that you can have shelter on, whether you rent it or buy it or whatever you do. You're a tenant, or you have ownership supposedly of something that. So you have to have a job that ultimately, say you go out and you build widgets. Well, maybe it's widgets that farmer needs or wants. So you're building things that the farmer needs for his farm so that he can afford to farm, that he can afford to sell you food so you can afford to go out and manufacture something that he needs so that he or she goes good. Because see how that's a very simple, basic breakdown here of how this works. But we use dollars to exchange our work credits, so to speak. I'm going to call it that. I go out and work for an hour. I get enough credit to buy a sandwich. And the work that I did, the farmer pays for, because the farmer, there's some other middleman in there somewhere who's building a widget that the farmer needs, and that eventually goes back to the farmer. Now, I'm just using farmers as an example of one part of our economic situation. So, and of course, in the process of going to work, you need transportation now all of a sudden, because you have to work. If you had food and water, and shelter, you wouldn't have to have transportation. You wouldn't have to go anywhere other than one other factor in this whole thing. That's medical care. That's a big part of our life, sustainability of life, and everything else that we have to maintain some kind of quality of life. It's not necessarily life itself. It's just quality of life. And yet it's a quasi gray area. I would say necessity. Now for normal quality of life, yes, it's an absolute necessity for that. But just to live on a day-to-day basis, for normal, healthy human beings, it is not. It is proper food, proper nutrition, proper shelter, and rest, and those things are that will sustain life for a long time for most people without any kind of genetic issue. You know what I'm saying? It's just the public in general. I'm talking about. Now, in our society, it ramps up after a while. So you want to keep people, people who get sick, who would normally die in your society, you want to be able to take care of them and help them hopefully recover or have a sustainable life. So they need medical care. In the process of all this, you need transportation. You need a way to move people around, all these things, whether it's doctors to the patient or patients to the doctors, whichever it is. And then also you have to go to work and you might have to travel further to go to a better job or whatever it is that you have expertise in. So now we're talking about transportation. Well, the transportation industry now becomes a part of this mix. So you have to buy a car, you have to buy gas, and all those things filter back to the people who provide those things. So the things that you're doing in your job, hopefully at some point, whether you're building computers, whether you're building whatever you're building, building wrenches, building machines, whatever you're doing, that somehow filters back to the ability to produce food, produce oil, produce the things you need for medical care, whatever it is that you need. All those things fall in line and fall into place and eventually become part of the economic mix. I know this is getting kind of complicated, but it's actually very simple. It's just it's because it all boils down to that whole foundation of that whole thing. So does that make sense? I hope that makes sense to everybody. And speaking of which, when I ask a question like that, it kind of reminds me, I'm trying to find a way for people to respond to the show, ask questions, and participate in the dialogue. If you can come up with a way to do that, let me know. And I don't know how you're going to let me know because I have no way of doing that. So it's one of those things where maybe if you have my email, if you have my phone number, whatever it is, I don't know if you know who I am. If you know of something that would be able to, like people could text, say they're listening to the show and there's a number that I could post on the show and have people call in to, what would really be fun, in my opinion, would be a way for people to call in, leave a message, a voice message of some kind. I'm not going to give them my personal number. I'm not going to do that. But if you had a way of giving out a number that people could just call into like a voicemail service, and that voicemail service, I could play those clips of people asking questions and then respond to them. Almost like a live caller, but not quite. It would be the next best thing. Or they could even text in or maybe send an email, but that's kind of a little bit more difficult. It'd be much easier if somebody just had on their phone, they just had a speed dial thing, they could just call in, leave a message, ask a question, make a comment, and I could play those on the show, which I think would be a lot of fun, in my opinion. I could have maybe one or two days of the week that I would have callers, caller responses, do something like that. If you know of a way to do that, please try to find a way to let me know. Now, there's a Facebook page. I was looking for this the other day. I think I was on my laptop. It's a little harder for me to find stuff on there. Let me see if I can find it on here. I'll see what the actual address is. Now, it is on the description of my show. I think it comes out on the Podbean, I think. In the description on the show, there's a Facebook page on there. And, of course, I can't get a computer. Yeah, now it wants me to log in. This is probably not going to work because it usually doesn't. We'll see what we got here. It's one of my pages on Facebook, and I think pretty sure that it's like TNA to me or some the news according to me. I think the word to sometimes is now it wants me to have a code. I have to have a code now to get into my and send me a code to make sure I'm the person that I'm talking about. So yeah, I don't think it's gonna work. I don't see anything. There's no code. They're not sending me a code. Yes, I see no code. No code. All right. I heard something come through the mail on my computer, so I'm not sure what that's all about, but let's see what we got going on here. No, there's nothing. This is what we're talking about when we talk about difficult. Oh, there is. There's a code there. It came up on my phone. It came up on my computer. My computer's acting all goofy now. Here we go. Let's type this code in here. How ridiculous. This is just doing nothing but slowing my computer down, slowing my show down. We have, I have to concentrate. I have, there we go, 55. All right, let's see if that works. It might take a few minutes for this code, to get this code. It's going to take me a few minutes just to put it in. I just need to find this page, and I'll get you the address. If you want to post something to, what's it doing now? It's great. What do we have here? Yeah, here's the, here we are. No, I'm not putting WhatsApp on it. Why does it keep doing this? Why does it keep doing such strange things for me here? It's not on here anyway. I don't see the address for this at all. It's not telling me what the actual, how to get you to this page. Let's see what this says. No. Okay. That's fine. Whatever. Okay. The news according to me. It's just the news according to me. No numbers, no nothing. It's just, that's what it is. Let's see what I got on here. Last show that was posted was June 28th of 2023. This was supposed to be automatically posting shows on here every time, but it's not. So that's not working. The actual, okay, so if you put in facebook.com/thenewsaccordingtome, each word is capitalized, but it's all one word. The news according to me. No numbers, just that. You can reach there. You can post things on that page, on that site. And I think I will see it, I think. I don't know. I don't see anybody actually making any comments on any of these shows, but I'll try to post the shows on there now for later on. But in the meantime, that's what we got. So there you are. I think I'm gonna make sure that's on my stuff. I think it'd be a blast to be able to respond to people's questions and especially if they're recorded, actual person's voice. I think that would be quite the addition to the show. I'm going to work on that for the next 6 weeks because I'm going to be home for the next 6 weeks. So we'll try to get some things established on the show that kind of make a little bit more sense in the meantime. So I have tomorrow, there'll be a show probably going to be from one of the shows, either tomorrow or Wednesday, is going to be from the headquarters, worldwide headquarters, and possibly be live. Wednesday's probably going to be a live show Wednesday morning. Because Thursday and Friday are going to be a little bit busy days for me. Friday there'll probably be a show, but Thursday maybe not. We'll have to see about that. Other than that, for the next month and a half, you've got me at your beck and call. I will be developing the show and making some things happen because I'll be mostly, for the most part, being home. Possibly, if I get the motorhome going, might be taking a few trips, road trips, about a month or so. We'll see how that works out. In the meantime, folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Take care. Thanks for listening.